Yes, you are. Thank you, Diane. John Curler, Sherry Elicker Show coming at you. That's right, everybody. Get ready. A little bit of news. I'm sorry, Andrew. It's
entertainment.
She is.
We should ask Spike if his band will cover that song.
Really? Yeah. I'm glad to do that.
Yeah.
Like there are AI rules on that.
I think it's ours. We paid for it.
Did we really pay for that?
Yeah.
Okay. Diving in tonight. Putting the show together, Sherry, and Joe's like, oh, you got a story? We'll move that to 3:30. So my shallow ear holes that I don't like to talk about, but it does get me handicapped parking. Came back to haunt me on a plane flying to New York the other day. Oh, boy.
Shallow ear holes?
Okay, here we go. Okay, go ahead.
That's one I haven't heard. I didn't know. Are you hard of hearing? Do you have
I have shallow ear holes. So when I put the little stupid iPod earbuds in, they fall out. And it fell out at an inopportune time while I was on the plane. But first, some real news. People that suffer from shallow ear holes. No, I'm kidding. So, hey, they say it's good news. Really? The Seattle homicides down 33%. This is Axios looked at the number, cooked them all up for you to make it seem like things are improving. It's just interesting when they talk about percentages and you look at the numbers. So you have to look at it like, okay, we hit a high of 107 people that were shot and killed. Was that in 2022? Something like that. 2021, somewhere in there. So that was the high. It's come down from there, but it's still like 65. If you look at the low, average, I've got 25 people killed most of the time, 2018, 2017. So you're still above the norm, but they act like it's coming down. But still.
That's good. Come on. It's good. Mm-hmm. It's better.
There's a
show doing a hot take. Wow. I'm glad not as many people are dying.
Oh, that's
you're still three times your number what it was before. Right. That's all.
Okay. There's a 36% decrease in homicides in the first 3 months of 2024. So there were 14 in 2023, and just 9 in 2024.
Yeah, and what are they saying? But the thing is, you can't. There's so many variables that go into it, right? There's so many variables. And we know that in 2012, there was a thing called the Ferguson effect that Heather McDonald talks about. So right after my Michael Brown case, a lot of police stopped policing, especially in Seattle when they hit him with a consent decree. And there's studies that show when cities get hit with consent decrees like we got, police tend to pull back because I'm not going to get out of the car. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to say anything because, listen, I'm going to get out of that car. I don't want to lose my job. I need this job. I need my pension. I got to pay for stuff. So I'm not going to get out there and be accused of being a racist or something. So they de-police. And you can see it when cities get consent decrees, violence, crimes go up because police are less likely to do on-view response. They go to on-call, that's 911, everybody respond. But on-view is you get out of the car and go, hey, guys, what's going on? What's going on over here? So this number, this idea that things are getting better and they're acting like the Seattle's really improving, still violent crime is up. Still homicides are up from where they were on the average. So when you say you're down from the high of 107, down you lose 30-some percent or 40 or 50% down. You got to look at the totality of the numbers, but they're cooking them up a little bit. The same thing they do at, oh, inflation's down. When inflation was at 9%, 9 or 9.8%. If you look at in 2020, 2019, 2017 was like 1.5%. It's at 3.5%. So it's double the number where it normally is. So they cook these numbers back and forth. And they always say if you want to win an argument, 87% of the time you'll win an argument if you use a percent. I just made that percent up, but that's what you do. Okay?
That sounds good. Well, the Tacoma Police Department spokesperson attributed it to something a little bit different.
Oh.
It's the push to hire officers born or raised in the city. They bring all of their relationships with neighbors, the people they grew up with them. And they said that the drop required cooperation between police, city leaders, and citizens who are willing to share information sometimes even before crimes occur or behaviors escalate.
Okay.
So I think they're also giving credit to the communities for being more cooperative with the police.
Yes. So in cities where they have seen a dramatic drop, like Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., what they're actually doing is they're having police go in and police certain areas. They're actually hiring police. We only have, what did we say? Rance had the number the other day. It was like 400 and some police officers.
Yeah.
That's the real number. I think it's even a little lower than that. You can't have that many cops to go around and try to protect 700 and some thousand people. So they just don't buy it. I don't believe it. I don't believe that, oh, things are on the better and things are improving. Although Joe's going to go, oh, no, things are so much better.
Yeah. They are.
They are what? To what? What number?
I'm just saying, as somebody who lives in downtown Seattle, who's from 2017 to now, who saw it get progressively worse around 2020, of course. No one's denying that.
Right. Black Lives Matter protests.
Right. So whatever the cause, it got really, really bad where I wouldn't let my wife walk to work. I wouldn't let her walk home. Now she walks to work, she walks home fine. There are just like every other city, there are a couple of blocks that you avoid, but on the whole it has gotten much better. And I imagine if the police guild's new contract is better and they can actually start hiring more police, it'll just continue to get better.
Okay.
So I see a positive. Thank you,
Joe.
Jason Rance attributes this to one thing, and he's saying that crime went up a lot around 2020 due to depolicing.
Yeah.
Because they defunded the police. Now they are policing more effectively. And because they shifted back to this traditional policing and intervention, that's why it's going down. It's because they have, they've decided that not to let as many people out or to arrest people as they are committing these crimes. And he said the data is incomplete in this Axios article.
Yeah. Again, people, when they argue percentage, you really want to look at the raw numbers on the thing. So I had nothing to do. I was on the plane. So I looked at all the numbers, and I looked at from 2017 to 2023. So I looked at total number of shots fired, how many people got hit, and then what were the homicide rate. So then I just looked at I was really bored on the plane. So on average, it takes 19 shots to kill somebody in the city of Seattle. It's anywhere between 15 and 19. It just took the number of shots fired, the number of the homicides. Here's the saddest thing is, you know where it's happening. You can see the age. You can see the victim. After 2017, they no longer show you the defendant's race, because that would be racist. So they don't show you that after 2017. They don't give you that. But you can see who's getting shot. You see, it's mostly male. Mostly black, mostly young, getting killed, right? So that, and you know where it's happening and what communities and what neighborhood it's happening. Then the cops, don't want to go in there, or there's just not enough cops to be able to stop it. So it's sad. I'm good. For Joe, I'm happy that you feel that your wife can walk down the street. It's better than 2020. But, you know, stories like this make everybody see like, oh, it's much better. But overall, still the city has a problem because they don't have enough police.
Agreed.
More criminals. And not enough cops catching them and putting them in jail. Everybody's favorite Seattle Public School teacher is on administrative leave. So that means that getting paid to do nothing, which is what most communists like. So this guy falls right into that trap. And this is the guy that, was it just last week we were talking to him? Or they were talking to him and they're asking about, oh, so there were no rapes? The Hamas and Gaza, there was none of that? They didn't go in there and rape anybody? No. And he's the one.
I'm sorry. They asked if it was justified.
Oh,
that's what got him in trouble. He didn't really deny that these things happened, although he did say, where's the proof when it came to rape?
Yeah, this guy's a moron.
Ian Golosh, he is the head of the Social Studies Department at Chief South High School here in Seattle. Now, his dad, he told me that he had been put on paid administrative leave. He's now speaking out on his behalf after his son said that those murders in Israel back on October 7th were justified.
He is concerned about disciplinary action by the school system.
The father of the Seattle teacher now under fire tells me he feels what his son said is justified.
We're against what we call nationalism.
Earlier this month, Ian Golosh was confronted by the conservative group Accuracy in Media, asking him about his controversial posts on the Hamas attack in Israel on October 7th.
Well, then was what happened to Israel on October 7th justified? Yes. The rape of women at a music festival was justified.
Where's the evidence that there was rape?
Oh, sorry. Oh, God. Okay.
You don't think there was any rape?
Where's the evidence that there was rape?
Okay. Were women murdered at the music festival?
They were.
Was that justified?
Yes.
After his remarks went viral on social media, Seattle Public Schools said they started an immediate, appropriate investigation to determine the facts. Accuracy in Media claims to confront educators who they accuse of using anti-Semitic rhetoric, which is what brought them to Seattle.
I think I distorted what Ian said. Of course, we don't justify raping of women in the course of conflict. I mean, that's, you know, I never have my children take that position.
And the dad told me that, Ian, he's been advised not to talk to any Seattle Public School staff, whether that is teachers or students. He said that he is on paid administrative leave for the rest of the spring semester. Now, we've been trying to get in touch with Ian since the start of all of this. I actually got a text back from him tonight. However, he has not yet agreed to an interview with us yet. Live in Seattle, Hannah Knowles, Como News.
It's so simple. Here's how they describe it, right? There's the oppressors and the oppressed, right? So it's okay to go in there and behead babies. It's okay to go in there and torture people. That's okay because you're fighting back against the oppressor and you're oppressed. So, and you're the occupier of Gaza. Statistically and historically, you can't prove that now after the Jews moved out, but it doesn't matter. These people just living through this entire filter, this myopic filter of oppressed oppressor, and you're rising up. You rise up against those that are oppressing you. You go in there and you decapitate children and you rape women, but it's okay because we can justify it because, you know, colonialism or, you know, from the river to the sea. I actually went to two protests, Sherry, while I was in New York. I went to the protest where they blocked, I think we were in Midtown Tunnel. They were blocking that during the traffic stuff. And then I thought, oh, I've had enough of that. So I went down all the way to Lower Manhattan to Donald Trump's trial. So it was taking in all the joys of New York City for two days.
All the conflict.
And there's funny, there's a New Yorker standing there when these people are laying in the street, you know, and they're blocking all the traffic and they're all yelling to the river, the sea. And the guy goes, this New Yorker next to me goes, yeah, yell it one more time. I think you're going to bring the war's going to come to an end. Yeah, yell it one more time. Just screaming at these people. So it's like a New Yorker guy just passing by screaming at these morons that are blocking traffic. I'll tell you, I stood there because I thought, you don't block people in New York. I mean, like you see it in Germany and France where people just pick you up and drag you out of the street and stuff. But the cops were protecting them.
Mm-hmm.
And that same thing had happened a number of weeks ago. The one guy that was going in, thinking into the Midtown Tunnel, you know, Holland Tunnel, he got out there and punched the one guy, right? And then the cops arrested him or something, and he apologized later on. But I thought, I said to the one guy, you know what? If you punched one of those guys, you could probably, they'll arrest you. Yeah, I know. I said, and then what could happen? You know what you do? They get you in there. Then you go, you start a GoFundMe campaign. You could easily make $1 million. The guy's like, were you telling me I could make $1 million by punching that guy right now? I'm like, I can tell you right now, you punched him. I'll videotape it. You punch him, and then they'll rough you up, and they'll send you to jail. But you'll go in there, they'll start a big GoFundMe campaign.
It's well, like
I got a radio show. I can put you on the radio. He goes, you got a podcast or a radio show? I'm like, it's a radio show. We're but number 67, by the way.
That yes, in the heavy 100.
We're the heavy 100.
Yeah. Why didn't you punch him? That's a great get-rich-quick scheme. Why didn't you do it?
I had to work that night.
Oh.
But the more I thought about it, the more I thought, you know what? If I had that opportunity, I would do that. I would go after him like, I'd take him out like Gaethje got knocked out the other day.
Gaethje.
Oh, gosh, right. Sherry. Whew. Well, those guys are very punchable, too. Those guys that are screaming and yelling or blocking traffic going in. And they thought that they would stop. They wanted to economically hurt the United States by people blocking traffic. Do you think that you're going to get anybody on your side? Is anybody going to come around to, yeah, let's let Hamas continue to terrorize the Jews because you blocked me from getting to my my flight?
Well,
it's so distorted view of how the world works.
Yeah, what they do is, you know, they handcuff themselves to each other.
The dragon.
So I'm thinking that you could have just kicked someone. And then they couldn't really hit back because their arms are handcuffed in PVC pipe.
I wouldn't have done with the key. See, here's an interesting thing, Sherry. If you videotape that, you're taking a cheap shot on somebody. Like, just walk up and take them.
Oh, I see. Okay, now you're like gonna, a sucker punch.
Right. Now you're not going to be able to get the GoFundMe thing going. But if you get into it with somebody, one of those guys, they had these orange traffic vests on. You get into it with one of those guys, and then, you know, you start to tussle a little bit, and then you whack them, and then you get $1 million.
As long as you win, you got to pick somebody you can beat.
Yeah, really. Because $1 million doesn't do a lot for you when you're dead.
They're not. Believe me, I saw them. I almost had the one guy. I always talked the one guy into it. I said, you can do a lot with $1 million. Standing there, goes, so why don't you do it? I was like, I'll videotape it. Oh, why don't you do it?
Look at you sacrificing. I'll stand here with a phone. How's that? You
like
do the
Marlon
dirty
Perkins.
Work.
Yeah. I'll wait here in the Jeep while Jim goes ahead to wrestle the alligator. Yeah. I almost had him. I thought, that could have had a whole story. I said, we'll put you on the radio. Oh, it's not a podcast?
There'll be other opportunities, John. Don't worry.
You think so?
Oh yeah. This isn't going anywhere.
Okay. So, one more time from the river to the sea, and then it'll all end. All right, coming up in just a bit. So I sat next to a guy, Sherry, and he so much wanted to talk to me on the plane flying to New York. Oh, and I had my earbuds in, and that's the international sign for don't talk to me. And then they fell out. The one on the left side fell out, and I couldn't find it. And then the one on the right fell out because I got shallow ear holes. And then look out. It was a hurricane of really bad jokes.
Oh, that's worse than boring conversation. Bad jokes.
Because, basically, I signed up for like a improv class, and I'm a funny guy.
Give it all away.
Just give me a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Ow, that's a tease.
Wow, she's doing
waiting.
Okay.
She's waiting.
No.
What?
She's changed her dot. Talk a little baseball, real fast. Got a question for you. The Bears are going to take this one and off we go to Colorado, the Rockies.
On the right track there, John. 9-10 on the season now. Approaching 500 after a rough start.
Rockies are really rocky.
Rockies are no good, so they should probably sweep the Rockies too, but it's a road series.
Tickets
you never know.
Still available?
I would think tickets are available in Denver, yeah.
Thank you, Aaron.
You're welcome.
How are you? Music's still going for some reason. This is brought to you by Aaron, the Look of the Mariners. Stinging out there.
Wow.
Sorry about that, Sherry.
That was a lot.
It was a lot. It was a long cut. Aaron didn't have a lot to say since they won. Let's see. Oh, quick story. So I'm flying to New York to go do a couple auctions. I'm on this plane, and I got these earbuds in because you put the earbuds in international sign. You don't want to talk to
it. Move on.
No, you have not. You have not heard it. I haven't even told the story yet. So I got him in there. Big guy sitting next to me. Big. He's got the dark sweatpants on, the sweatshirt, kind of like classy-looking sweatshirt and stuff. Got the big guy, and he just wants to talk. So he's doing a lot of... seats, that kind of stuff. Nope. International sign. Got the little white earbuds in there, so he can't talk to me. So he realizes he's going to talk to the people next to him. So those two are people. So now he's crossed the aisle chewing on this woman's ear. And I would say with about 45 minutes to go on the flight, and it's landing, getting in late, like 12 at night, my earbud falls out. It goes between the seat. It's dark. I don't want to turn a light on. I can't find it. And while I bend down to find that one, the other one drops out because I got shallow ear holes. But don't hold it against me. And then he realizes, like at that point, you know, I'm like a wounded animal. I'm like a antelope with a bad ankle at the watering hole. He's coming in for the kill. He's like, yeah, I was just telling these guys next to me. I was like, you know. Well, my friends were like, you know, you should definitely do stand-up because you're funny. You should do stand-up. You know, so I'm Jewish, right? So it's in my blood, right? So I signed up for this class. I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Did you make eye contact?
I have to at this point because he's right beside me. And then he goes, so I'm nervous, you know, but I got like a good 20 minutes I've written. So I show up there and I get dice. I killed. I mean, and I've never done it before, but that's the crazy thing. It's like, because I'm just funny. I'm just a funny guy. You find that out, I'm like, I'm a funny guy.
Yeah.
You know, because like a lot of people, you're funny. You should do stand-up. So I take the class. I'm the best in the class, right? I mean, I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you. I was like, I'm like, damn my shallow ear holes. So he's like, he was like, what? And I said, so I'm like, okay, I'm just going to throw him off the setup. I said, so when do you write? Oh, you know, I just live my life and like stuff happens. I do funny things. And then I'm like, so I make a note. Like I keep like a little pad. I make notes and stuff like that. I was like, Okay, like the other day. So so I start out. This is what I started with, right? And it was great. Big joke. So I walk into this deli. I'm in a deli. Going to deli. I like a nice, you know, sandwich, right? So I said to the guy, hey, you know, can I have a sandwich? I order the sandwich. And the guy says to me, you got any food allergies? I said, food allergies? Look at me. You think I got food allergies? It kills. They're rolling in the aisle. I'm like, So I'm trying
sounds
to
like
lose.
He's rolling in the aisle.
Yeah. So I'm trying to lose weight. I'm like, oh, my God. He's figured it out that he's got like 15 minutes to land. He's going to do his whole set.
Yep.
And I'm like, is there a 2-drink minimum? And I hope one of them is like botulism or like something that's just going to kill me. And I'm like, now I'm stuck. Yeah. So like I said, I got to lose weight. You know, I'm trying to lose weight. So I go on and going to buy an e-bike, right? I don't want a real bike. I get an e-bike, right? You know, so I'm on there and I'm like buying the bike. And then he's like, are you a robot? I'm like, yeah, I got to prove I'm not a robot. I'm buying an e-bike. And I'm like,
that's kind of funny.
Okay, Sherry.
I don't even know what's an e-bike. Oh, electric bike.
Yeah, what?
Sherry. Sherry, get out much? Yeah, they had a special commie night for shut-ins like yourself.
No, I've just never
called
it. There's
a 2-drink minimum of inshore.
Stop. I've never heard it called an e-bike. I've heard it called electric bike.
Okay, e-bike. Okay, sorry.
E
for electric.
That was kind of funny.
Oh, my God. You know what? Then you should have been on there. I could have opened the exit door and thrown myself out. It was Alaska plan. I was waiting for the hatch to blow off. Yeah. Do you please take me with you?
Praying for it.
And then he's like, yeah, I do some Jewish stuff because I'm Jewish, right? So then he says that, you know, so I got, you know, my parents were so cheap, you know, when it came to circumcision, they didn't use a knife. I can't remember how I did the joke. Hang on. And with that, he gets onto his phone. He looks it up. Oh my God. I'm waiting. He's like, okay. Well, my parents were cheap. Yeah, they didn't have a dime. Yeah. So my parents were so cheap, they didn't bother using a scalpel. It was a cheap one. So we call that not a circumcision, but a ripoff. Oh my God. My wife, she's Filipino. So she's really small, you know. So, you know, I've lost like 5 pounds. And I was like, can you tell I've lost weight? She goes, yeah, because when we're making love, like, it takes me only 10 minutes to pass out instead of 2. Sherry, don't laugh at this stuff. Don't laugh. What are you doing?
That's kind of funny.
Okay, you know what? We're doing another story. If you're going to laugh at this. Obviously, you haven't been out in a while. You don't even know what an e-bike is.
What? No, I mean, okay, you got to admit that when the visual you have in your head is kind of funny about that.
I know, but the problem is when, like, you're sitting right beside somebody and the seats are faced, you have to turn your head and the guy's, like, 6 inches from your face doing, but he's got a big head and he's doing it right into the side of my face.
I sympathize with that. And the other thing is you can't laugh at just one. If you start laughing, you've got to do every single one.
Did you give them like a courtesy laugh?
No, I was doing the thing comedians do, which is where they don't laugh at anything. They go, that's good. That's good. I was giving them that thing because I've seen David Spade do that. It's funny. That's funny. That's good. Yeah. Oh, my God.
You got any more?
He's like, I was going to do more. I'm probably going to go back and do some more. Because like people are like, you got to do this, you know, you got to do this. So I'm like, yeah, maybe I'll do this. I don't know. Like, I probably will. I said, yeah, you know, I know a couple of comedians and stuff. Well, how do you know comedians? I've been in TV for a while and stuff. I have a radio show. You got a podcast? Nope, don't have a podcast. No.
But you do have a podcast. Yeah, I think you can say legitimately that you do have a podcast.
Yeah. Oh, and then he wanted to come on. Maybe I could come on, like, do some stuff. Oh, okay, you know what? Sure, I do have his number, so why don't I have him come on and just slay you, huh? Some of his best stuff.
I wouldn't mind that. I think it would be kind of fun to do that.
Did you try looking him up?
On.
I did. I looked him up.
Oh, we're going to do that again, by the way.
What's that, Sherry?
Psychics.
Yes, the psychics, yes. Psychics are going to come back on again.
Yeah, you find, so like, his Instagram not? Or anything? Like a YouTube?
He goes by, I've written down, because he has a stage name.
Oh, boy.
But I was so nervous.
Of course he does.
I was so nervous. I got there, like, 3 hours ahead of just in the car, you know, just, like, sitting in the car, just, like, he's bad. I had, like, bad diarrhea and stuff. I was like, okay. All right.
Is this a joke? Or?
No, that was him just before he went on. He did bad diarrhea because he's so nervous.
Yeah, it happens.
You know, I don't know. Does Seinfeld, like have, like, really bad diarrhea? I was like, I don't know if he's setting up for a joke or not. I'm like, you don't want to interrupt the joke.
Yeah, right.
Well, you know when you should really just fake your own death? It was two words. Improv class. You just, at that point, forget it. They're not going to be funny. They're going to think a bunch of weirdos in the class have, like, laughed at their stuff because they have to laugh at each other.
Oh.
So, yeah, that's when you should have checked out.
Oh, my God. I did that I was a Civil War soldier for the weekend because a friend of mine was really into it.
Reenactment
stuff. And I came down with a bad case of dysentery because I just spent the entire time in my tent. And they're like, we're going to need your help out there. They've got these weird accents. I'm like,
that stuff is so weird.
I'm like, I got some dysentery. A lot of the men do. I'm like,
I don't know what country you're from. Where
are you from? Because they don't want to use their regular voice. Pretty bad dysentery. I can't move. I'm going to be in the tent all day. I'm like, yeah, pretty much in the tent for the whole weekend.
It's the strangest thing. I had a guy that I went to his house, and I said, isn't it, like, hot and awful out there if you do this during the winter? And he said, well, let me show you the coat. He put the coat on me, the overcoat.
Oh.
It must have weighed 70 pounds.
Right.
I crumbled under it. I mean, it was, I was like that guy's wife.
Yeah.
Hey.
Look at you.
That's how bad it is. I'm telling you.
I'll be here all week. Try the veal. Yeah. Look at you. Huh? Look at you working your way back into the guy's joke. Good job, Sherry. You guys can do a show together. Ba-ba-ba-ba. The John Curley, Sherry Ellicker show following us. But Instagram is a good idea. You can go to the John and Sherry Show. Shari. That's how Sherry spells her name because she's so special. Mm-hmm. And, of course, writing to us at mynorthwest.com. Although Andrew said the other day,
I don't think people really use that much.
Nah, don't bother then. Your Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line at 1-888-973-5476. All welcome. I don't know why Heinz Ketchup decided to do this other than the fact that I guess people are going to talk about it because here we are talking about it. It is an interesting way of sort of just making ketchup newsworthy, if it's even a thing. What do you pay for ketchup insurance, Sherry?
Okay. Well, if you look at the terms and conditions, this is something that they make it look like, okay, if you've got all these different, there's like 57 things that can happen.
Because you know
why?
For
instance,
why?
57, Heinz 57.
There you go. Good. Okay.
Okay. Number 4 is the total bump. Number 18, speed spills. And that's you have to, you're trying to put ketchup in a moving vehicle. And 35 is sorry, boss, spills a massive amount of ketchup at work. And so if you send a picture to them of this catastrophe that's happened, they will acknowledge it.
Brilliant.
But if you read the fine print,
this
is purely a promotional campaign that celebrates our customers' love for Heinz ketchup through a creative lens. We are in no way launching any kind of legally binding insurance program. This experience is solely for entertainment purposes and does not form a part of insurance coverage.
Smart.
Yeah.
Right.
So they are saying you can send it in, you can make it up, you can do whatever you want, but they're not going to give you anything for it.
Maybe we should start following them on Instagram.
Wow, I know. Watching Catch Up Disasters, that's way up there. That's just so cool.
So I said to my wife, I'm like, so I like catch up, you know, like I'm catching my eyeball. Anticipation by Carly Simon. That was the most famous ketchup commercial ever.
That's right.
Person sitting there waiting for it.
Yeah. But which one is the one where if you take the bottle and you knock it on the on one of the letters
on the 57, I think.
Oh, the 57. Okay, and then it'll come out.
And then it comes out?
Yeah. Yeah, it works. And you know what? One of my neighbors invented the squeeze bottle for ketchup.
Oh, brilliant. They still live next to you?
They live around the corner. But he's, you know, he's kind of an older man now, but I loved hearing about it. It was kind of cool.
How long does that story take? So then I thought, why not put it in a plastic bottle?
Squeeze bottle.
And then you...
Well, he kind of went into the whole, you know, design and the team that, and he never really took credit for it. He let the team take credit. It was one of those stories.
Uh-huh. Right. And so where's he live in relationship to you?
Around the corner.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Why, you want to visit?
No, I was having Andrew slowly take your volume down. I think you'd be in the middle of the story. We're going to see what we do to you there.
Okay. Thanks for trying.
You ever said anything about my beard? It. Come on. Huh?
Well, I don't see you today.
No. That's right.
No, I want to see it.
No. I'm too sexy for you.